Hello, this is Newt Gingrich. Writing Grant Comes East and its prequel Gettysburg has taken my co-author Bill Fortune, our friend and co-editor Steve Hanser, and me on a remarkable journey across the last 5 years. We are all three historians, each with a PhD in that discipline. Each of us has an intense fascination with our national epic and how history shapes our modern world. We are educators as well, and share a frustration with how the study of history has been too often reduced to a dry recitation of facts, without drama and excitement, a memorization of dates, without a visceral sense of just how dramatic our national story truly is. We are a nation that survived in spite of the tremendous odds facing it. Our emergence to greatness is a testament to the wisdom of our founding fathers, the courage and sacrifice of so many patriots across more than 200 years, and the enduring idealism that is a hallmark of what it means to be an American. In our conversations about the crucial summer of 1863, when the fate of our nation, and for those who lived in the South, two nations, was in the balance, we found ourselves talking about the great what-if of American history. Could the South have won the Civil War? Across 140 years, debate about a possible Confederate victory focuses on those crucial days in late June and early July of 1863. Was victory indeed possible? Could Southern banners have swept the fields of Gettysburg and marched in triumph to Washington, D.C., where Lee would have dictated a peace that forever sundered America into two countries? As we speculated upon this scenario, we formalized a concept which we call active history. Speculations on the what-ifs of history have always been popular. Any gathering of history buffs, even historians at professional conferences, will often drift on to such questions. Could the South have won at Gettysburg? Could England have suppressed our revolution? Or in the modern world, could the dark forces of fascism or communism have triumphed? Our definition of active history attempts to codify such speculations into a rational and disciplined process, examining those crucial decisions that might have led us down profoundly different paths. We define active history as a serious attempt to look at decision-making based on contemporary realities and how different decisions might have altered our national destiny. Our first novel in this series, Gettysburg, is firmly rooted in historical facts. What might have happened if, on the eve of that epic battle, General Lee, the real General Lee, came to the conclusion that he was not firmly in control of his army or of the campaign about to unfold. From that specific point, our five-year effort began. We call that moment Lee's Epiphany, and it is the departure point for our series. Active history is a discipline that requires rigorous study of the personalities involved. Lee must act as he truly might have. For example, to base a story around a suddenly aggressive General McClellan at Antietam would not fit our definition, for in every field where McClellan commanded, his efforts were marred by temerity and indecision. Nor should there be any magic bullet, a key figure suddenly removed by random chance, such as Churchill dying in the Boer War or in an auto accident in New York in 1929, and thus not being present to so dramatically save Western civilization in the summer of 1940. We believe that active history must be approached as a discipline that first examines the facts and from one departure point systematically evaluates what might have resulted if certain decisions had gone along a different path, a path fully plausible and which fits within a credible historical framework. Such an approach to history can restore vigor to the study of our past, especially with students and teachers who wish to breathe renewed life into their subject. We found ourselves asking, why is history so disdained by so many, not just in the classroom, but by so many beyond school years, who look back and shudder at the boring, painful hours spent in classrooms? If ever there is a subject which should excite and enthrall us, it is our national epic. When examined through active history, otherwise dull questions of the past can have new life breathed into them. Could Lee have won? How would we as a nation be different today if he had? Remember that at any given moment, be it Gettysburg, the eve of D-Day, the stand of Reagan against communism, or our own confrontation with global terrorism, one decision by a leader might very well have made a profound difference on whether we as a nation would live or die, whether we ourselves would even be alive at this moment. And this was our departure point for Grant Comes East, the second book in our series on the Gettysburg campaign. Our first book, Gettysburg, taking an active history approach, evaluated what might have happened if Lee had heeded General Longstreet's counsel and on the evening of July 1, 1863, abandoned the field of Gettysburg and swinging far to the south and east by a bold maneuver placed the Army of Northern Virginia far into the rear of the Union lines. In one sense, the writing of this book was fairly easy once we got started. Gettysburg is perhaps the most intensely studied campaign in American history, and there was a wealth of information, stories, and vignettes for us to draw upon, even as we moved along an alternative path. We tried, as carefully as possible, to parallel reality for many individuals and to draw as well interesting alternatives such as General Armistead advancing this time in triumph and Colonel Chamberlain holding the critical flank, but this time in an impossible position to maintain. We end that novel with Lee triumphant, and there we closed our story. We had completed our first task, to look at Gettysburg in an alternate vision, but a far more fundamental question still remained. Could such a victory have ended the Civil War with a final Confederate triumph? Many in the past, when speculating on this question, assume a Confederate victory at Gettysburg would have ended the conflict. Perhaps the most famous is McKinley Cantor's delightful book, If the South Had Won the Civil War. He concludes that after a victory at Gettysburg, Jeb Stuart several days later marches up the steps of the White House and takes President Lincoln prisoner. It is a wonderful tale, but neglects the true historical facts. One of our tenets of active history is to adhere to the reality of the moment. The weather after Gettysburg was abysmal and profoundly impacted both sides. Torrential rains flooded rivers and washed out the dirt roads of that time. Such weather would have severely hampered a victorious Lee marching on Washington, slowing his advance to a crawl and thus granting precious time for the very large garrison of Washington to prepare for the onslaught. The city was guarded by some of the heaviest fortifications in the world at that time, ringed with earthen forts, all approaches guarded by hundreds of pieces of heavy artillery, manned by a well-trained garrison. Within days of a defeat at Gettysburg, the Union Navy could have rushed in thousands of additional reinforcements to the city from as far away as South Carolina. Thus, Lee, after a Gettysburg victory, would have been in a grueling race with weather and time to try and seize Washington, and once his exhausted army arrived in front of the fortifications, they would have been forced to make a desperate frontal assault as risky as Pickett's charge. This, therefore, becomes our departure point for Grant Comes East. The writing of this book was far more complex than our first volume, Gettysburg. For now, we are truly in the realm of active history. It is no longer a question of simply taking the Gettysburg campaign and ever so subtly altering it. Now it becomes an open field of serious speculation of what would have come after a Confederate victory at Gettysburg. As our title implies, much of the work focuses on Grant. Triumphant at Vicksburg, it is natural to assume that President Lincoln would have hastily summoned him east to restore the situation. Here, then, becomes the race on both sides. Can Lee seize Washington, or at the very least, secure a Confederate hold on Maryland and Baltimore, before Grant can build a new army in the east and challenge the Confederate victors of Gettysburg? There are so many potentials here for speculation, and we spent many an hour and many an email debating these questions. What about the draft riots in New York, which historically, after the Union victory at Gettysburg, threatened to derail the Union war effort? Would they not have been far worse after the news of defeat? What are the shattered remnants of the Union Army of the Potomac? Who would command, and what would be his motives for continuing the fight? And what of foreign policy? Would a Confederate victory at Gettysburg perhaps bring England or France into the fray? And finally, the subject of the root causes of this war. Gary Wills, in his brilliant work, Lincoln at Gettysburg, argues that the president in 1863 shifted the underlying cause of the war from constitutional questions to the far more fundamental issue based upon the opening statement in our Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal. How might a Confederate victory at Gettysburg impact the African-American community, especially in Maryland, and what impact might that have upon the war? We tried as well to draw in many other questions and personalities of that time. Walt Whitman, a favorite poet of Bill Fortune's, will have his role, as will Judah Benjamin, the often neglected Confederate Secretary of State. Some of our favorite characters from the first book will be present as well, such as the very 20th century railroad man, Herman Haupt. We hope that in Grant Comes East, you will embrace our enthusiasm for active history, the rational exploration of the past, and the potential for how events might have evolved differently. We believe that such studies can serve several purposes: to exercise serious debate about history, to renew and invigorate the study of our past in an exciting manner, and, of course, as another of our heroes, J.R.R. Tolkien, once said, to offer you a rousing good tale.